Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. And I hate to say it, but if there is one conversation everybody in Minnesota is having right now, it's the weather. And we're going to talk about the thing that everyone talks about on elevators and at counters and all over the place in Minnesota. We love talking about the weather because then we don't have to talk about important, complex, and potentially dangerous topics. We'll talk about it in podcast 603, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, we're going to talk about weather in this podcast, and one of the things that always comes up in Minnesota is the variable weather that we have. It can be really warm, and then it can get really cold, and when that happens, it wreaks havoc with your plumbing and heating systems, potentially, especially plumbing, because pipes can freeze. I think it was about 2 years ago, we had a pipe connection freeze out in the street that caused a lot of problems with this duplex that I live in. So if you have plumbing and heating problems, what you want is you want someone that you can trust and someone that is going to fix it and fix it right the first time. So when you have plumbing and heating problems, when it comes to keeping all of your systems operating properly, especially in the midst of winter, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, so that means the suburbs too, and they go back four generations in St. Paul, home or business. This includes you people that have rental properties. If you have a problem, you don't want to half-ass it. You want to fix it and fix it right. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I'm going to give you the numbers again, 651-224-4771. Once again, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Look them up online at ryanplumbing.com. Metro wide from St. Paul. Doesn't matter where you are, South St. Paul or Plymouth, for four generations, they do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And especially people in business, you know, again, you want to get it fixed right, and that's the key. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, ryanplumbing.com, and thanks you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, it's snowing out west, and severe weather is predicted for those of us here in the upper Midwest. We're talking about heavy snow. We're talking about winds, big winds, blowing snow, and supposedly the return of winter to the plains and the upper Midwest. It's February in Minnesota. We have enjoyed spring-like weather for what seems like most of the winter this year, so it's been a warmer-than-normal winter. Last year was a warmer-than-normal winter. Supposedly, we're going to have flurries, and then it's going to get cold, and then we're going to have this big, gigantic storm that everyone's predicting. And this is what we talk about in Minnesota. We like to talk about the weather in Minnesota because I don't know why. Maybe it's just a way not to have to deal with difficult topics, and everybody has a theory, right? And you don't mind if somebody has a theory about the weather because, you know, we're all interested in everyone else's theories about the weather. But we're heading into March, which, you know, how can I say this? Colloquially, you know, you hear people say it all the time that March is the cruelest month. It's like a truism. We're only about 20 days, actually, from the start of daylight savings. And, you know, I think spring is the equinox? The 21st or something. So we're really close to spring coming. And that's why it's really difficult in March, because March, in my experience, has usually been wet and gloomy and cold. I spent a number of years going back and forth between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and I remember I would leave the Twin Cities in, you know, on a March morning, and it would just be awful, and I'd get to Chicago, and it was sunny and warm, and I couldn't understand how Chicago is really not that much further south than Minnesota, but it was enough that the warmer weather usually hit down there, you know, 2 or 3 weeks early. And so in my experience, March is psychologically the most difficult month, and we think of it as wet and gloomy and the kind of cold that seeps into your bones because it's more humid. There's a little bit more humidity in the air, although not the below zero kind of cold that we see in December and January, which actually is supposed to sensitize us to the warmer parts of winter. I often talk about that early part in December and January when it's below zero. sometimes for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and you get completely acclimated to it being very, very cold. But March is kind of a transition month, and a transition month is a period where you move from cold and snowy weather to slightly warmer and perhaps rainy weather. But in some parts of the upper Midwest, some of the biggest snowstorms come in March. That's what I think, right? Except in Minnesota, statistically, the snowiest month has been January, followed by December, and then March. So a lot of this is perceptions. And we all have our stories. The biggest snowstorm in Twin Cities history was the famous Halloween snowstorm of October 31st through November 3rd, 1991. Everybody still talks about that big storm. It did not happen in March, right? The next biggest was November 29th through December 1st, 1985. Again, everybody talks about that one, but that wasn't in March. And then the next biggest was January 22nd through the 23rd, 1982. And then I'll just give you one more, which is, I think, January 20th through the 21st, 1982. So there was that period right in there around January, right after the first of the year, where we had two really different storms that just kind of collided into the Twin Cities and was really heavy. But again, that was January. It was really cold and super windy. I remember that one well, and I'll probably tell you a story about that one here in a little while. But and then some of the older people talk about the Armistice Day storm of 1940, but the Halloween storm in Minnesota was the biggest, 28 inches, by far bigger than all the other storms. Not that many in March, so that doesn't bode well for people expecting a big storm here coming up, although maybe we are due for a big March snowstorm. So while I was looking stuff up for this podcast, because I don't like to just talk about the stuff off the top of my head, I also discovered that there are all kinds of temperature and precipitation records in various places around Minnesota, local areas, little towns around here, and really, I'm sure, all over the country, which have nothing to do with wherever you might be when the weather hits. Sometimes we'll get no snow in the Twin Cities, and it will be, they'll just be deluged in Duluth, or it's even to the metro. Sometimes the South Metro doesn't get anything, and the Northern Metro gets clobbered. So we have really strange weather here in that it's not consistent across the metropolitan area or across the state. And part of it is Minnesota is just a huge state with completely different weather north to south to the middle part of the state. So anything can happen. And that's one of the reasons I think people here talk so much about the weather. Now, getting back to our weather here in Minnesota and the Midwest in general and the upper Midwest. And by the way, the reason I said that is because people will say, well, I don't know what they're talking about. It wasn't like that here. Or I don't know what they're talking about. It was pretty bad here. Well, that's because your local conditions can vary just because of various reasons. So, and I think everybody knows that, but it's I often hear, well, I don't know what they're talking about. It wasn't like that at all. Well, it wasn't like that here, but up there, it was a big deal. You'll hear, for example, schools will get closed in some of the rural counties when we don't have hardly anything down here in the Twin Cities. So if you're on the radio and you're talking to people all over the state and all over the upper Midwest, you know, people will call in and go, well, I don't know why they're closing the schools up in, you know, Cook County or whatever. Well, the answer is the weather's different. They have a lot more snow. Plus, my understanding is blowing snow in rural areas make it really difficult and dangerous for kids to be standing on bus stops and for buses to be riding up and down the road. So they will close schools in rural areas before they close them in the metropolitan area. And then, of course, you get all the envy, like, well, how come their schools are closing and ours aren't, and so forth. So the current weather we are enjoying is wonderful. We broke temperature records all over the Midwest this weekend. If you are from the Midwest, you know how glorious that is. To have a 60-degree day in the middle of winter is something to write home about. And I guess we've had a warmer than normal winter, and this gets all the global warming people chattering, although I've lived through some pretty cold winters in Minnesota and some rather mild ones, too. And I grew up in Chicago, so, you know, the cold weather has been part of my life. And I'm now that I'm of an advanced age, I am not sure which I like better. The older I get, the more I like the warmer variety of winter. And then there's the whole thing about, well, do you go away to the islands or someplace like that? And no, we don't go to Florida in Minnesota generally because Florida is not warm enough. Especially in February. You know, you have to wait till March or even April to go to Florida to get that warm weather. No, you got to go by the equator. You need to go to Costa Rica or Mazatlan or down to the Caribbean, where it's warm enough that you're not going to be cold, because you cannot get that cold out of your bones. So when I want to go get warm, I want to go to the equator. I want to go someplace where I'm going to sweat and it's going to be super hot. And then there's this whole thing about, well, when do you go? Do you go in April or do you go in February? And if you go too early, then you come back and you still can't get warm, because you're still stuck with 60 or, you know, depending on how intense the weather is, you're still stuck with cold, crappy, you know, gloppy, gloomy weather for the next few weeks. And so, you know, you got acclimated again to summer, your blood thinned out. There's the whole thing that when you go in the water and you're in the salt water, and you forget how much your head fills with glot, with whatever it is that goes up there, mucus, I guess, and it just gets impacted. And then you go someplace super warm and you go in the water, and it doesn't happen right away either. It takes a couple days, and you finally, you go underwater and you come up and your head just absolutely drains your entire head. And you're like, oh my God, I can hear and I can see and I can smell. And I remember one time I went down to the islands, and it had been a particularly cold winter, and I thought I had the flu. I was just sick for the first day or so, and one of our relatives down there was a nurse, and she said, here, she gave me two potassium tablets, and I took them, and I was like, immediately, I was better within 10 minutes. And I thought it was because I was drinking decaf coffee or something, but I just was potassium deprived because I hadn't been in the sun and it was, you know, cold. And I got down there in the warm weather, and that was the first thing that happened. So, you know, I do like the warmer variety, because at least I got to sit out on the deck this week and drink my coffee in the sun, and that was fine. But I also drank my coffee this winter when it was 10 below out there, and it was kind of neat. So, I mean, I had to have my Carhartt, you know, overalls on and everything else, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So anyway, the warmer variety winter weather leaves us with this mentality that we're going to get clobbered. And as if on cue, now the weather services are predicting the potential for a massive winter storm the weekend of February 25th. In podcast time, that is this Friday. So I'm recording this on Monday. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's going to be Friday, supposedly. And as I speak, it is raining out there. It's wet. It's really warm. As a storm system, apparently, with a lot of moisture and warm air passes through and sort of starts getting going. Now, we might have some thunderstorms, which is really cool in February. So far, I haven't heard any booming, but you never know. And through the rest of the week, at least until Friday morning, it's going to be warm around here. And then Thursday is the forecast. Thursday night, it's going to start getting cold, which will feel more normal for most of us. It's odd because now I'm acclimated to the cold weather, so I'm just hot. You know, I'm like almost too warm with these temperatures. And then comes supposedly a full-blown winter storm, the part where we get clobbered. Now, I would just simply say, don't count your chickens. It could just be the weather media responding to an unspoken feeling among all of us that there has to be a payback for all the wonderful warm weather that we had, sort of a no good deed goes unpunished kind of thing. But remember, spring starts March 21st, which is when the really bad weather starts, because we yet have April. So we have March. We can usually get through March, and April's when people start going, oh my God, I can't stand it anymore. Well, with heavy weather coming, I'll tell you, there's a big difference between driving a little car that's front-wheel drive and driving an SUV. So if you're looking for an SUV for winter in Minnesota or anytime, xgovernmentcars.com has them. And what they have are low mileage, Border Patrol, and Homeland Security SUV. So we're talking about Ford Expeditions, and we're talking about GMC Yukons and more. They also have the Crown Vicks, and they have the Chevy Impala V8s, and they have the Dodge Chargers and the Ford Police SUVs and the Ford Police sedans. These are great cars because they've been professionally maintained. They are one owner, fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. Here's the thing. They also have great financing at X Government Cars. If you need a car and you need a loan, if you've got a job, you're approved. They take trades. They pay the highest values for trades every day. They have the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at X Government Cars. Here's what you do. Get your butt down to X Government Cars, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. You can call them at 763-777-8782. Check out the inventory at xgovernmentcars.com. Always fun to go over there. those expeditions look great, and the Yukons look great. They're low mileage, and if you can get one of these cars with low mileage, that's the best thing. And the thing is, they look brand new, and they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg. XGovernmentCars.com.
XGovernmentCars.com.
So where was I? The part that I love the most. Well, I love extreme weather, and I love hurricanes, and I love tornadoes, and I love snowstorms, and I love flooding. And I love it when the sirens go off on a hot summer day, and you watch the storms blowing in. I love it when it gets dark, like really dark on a hot summer day. And I love the opening scene of The Wizard of Oz. I love the idea that those people out on the plane during that period of time, the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century, they had no warning for that stuff. They had no idea that a tornado was coming. And they could feel it. They could smell it. But that's all they had. They didn't know anything about weather because there was no weather media. There was no broadcast media. There was no way. There was no radar. There was no way to detect these things. You just had to kind of keep your eyes open. And if you were out in the field or something like that, it was dangerous. So tornadoes were not greeted with the mystery and the suspense and the interest that they are today because they were extremely dangerous. And in case you're wondering, with all of my exuberance about this stuff, I did live in a place at one point in my life which was very vulnerable to twisters, and it is no joke. I lived in one place where I can remember we had visitors from Australia, and my parents decided to have a barbecue, and we set up the card tables and everything outside, and my dad was grilling steaks, and the weather was not great. It was, and again, this is, we didn't have the radio on and we didn't have the TV on and we didn't, you know, we didn't really pay any attention to it. And when it started to get dark in the West, and I remember there was this, so we lived in a housing development, which was very vulnerable to severe weather. And now it's completely developed. But in those days, there was a big hill behind our house, and then you could see all the way to the high school. So it was probably a mile through these fields all the way to the high school, which was a wonderland for me growing up because we would play back there. And, you know, it was like the 100-acre wood, right, or whatever that place was. That, you know, it's like it was a wonderland of just nothing all the way to the high school. So we could see that, and we could see all the way down to the west, which was also a sort of an undeveloped area. And then there were probably 25 or 30 houses at the most going down the street, and then another 25 or 30 on the other side of the street. And that was our development. There were no houses there at the time. Now you go back there, it's completely developed. So that's all gone. But I remember standing in the yard, and I was a little kid, but I remember watching this telephone relay tower, and it had this relay antenna on it that from my perspective looked like a big chair, and I used to imagine sitting up there in a big chair, and it had aircraft warning lights, so it had those red blinking lights which oscillated very slowly, so it was like it sort of would blink on and then it would kind of blink off. And it was sunny. So my dad's grilling the steaks and they're talking to their friends from Australia. And my sister's putting the paper tablecloth on the tables and everybody's excited and we're making potato salad and all this other stuff. And we're watching this wind come up, and the wind kind of picked up, and I remember it kind of pulled up the tablecloth, and everybody laughed, and I was standing there watching this tower down to the west, and this thing came up really fast. It just, all of a sudden, the sky got super dark down there, and I remember watching that tower, and it was like night. And a tornado came right down, and we all just ran in the house, and then it proceeded to rain. That was a storm that I lived through, and that was really scary because that thing, you know, we had no protection from it. Although I will tell you later, that hill back there was quite a protection. Then I remember growing up, same kind of part of South Chicago, and we had to go under the furniture at one point because there was a huge storm and a tornado then. And again, we lived in a housing development. There was no place to go. And no, I've never lived through anything like Siren, Wisconsin, or Xenia, Ohio in 1974, where the whole town was destroyed, or the one in 2011 down in Missouri, where people had no warning and the houses just exploded. And if you see the video of what tornadoes can do, an EF4 or EF5 tornado. Now, I will tell you that one of those EF4 tornadoes did come through the south side of Chicago, and that hill in back of our house came in hand because it came in from that direction. It blew up over the hill, went right over the house, and we were all in the basement. And I remember there was all this water coming into the basement, and it flew right over us and then hit the house across the street. And it did sound like a freight train. That was just nuts. So if you've had that experience, and I'm sorry for my interest and exuberance if you've had that experience and it blew your house up or killed somebody, but extreme weather is interesting. I don't really apologize to it, but I just, for people who are listening that are afraid of them, you know, there's a good reason to be afraid of that stuff sometimes. But there's something about the immediacy of it and the inability to keep up with details that are occurring as they occur. Now, hurricanes are interesting for other reasons. I still want to storm chase a hurricane, but I haven't done that. But there's a certain kind or a big kind of romance to a snowstorm. Snowstorms, of course, can be deadly. Armistice Day snowstorm here in Minnesota was bad because here again, people had no warning. They didn't really have the kind of weather forecasting that we have today, and people got lost in whiteouts. So if you lived in rural areas or on the plain, I think there's a story that I remember reading about some guy who lived on a farm during the snowstorm in 1940, and they were going from one farm to the next, and they literally died because they got lost in this storm. So if you live in rural areas, as I said earlier, or you're out on the plain, North Dakota, South Dakota, whatever, they can be very dangerous, and you know that's something that needs to be said. I have learned basically to avoid driving during snowstorms, even little ones, because I've had bad experiences with being on the highway because people do not know how to drive. They go, I mean, I don't understand how Minnesotans can be so unskilled at driving in snowstorms, but if you're on the freeway during a snowstorm in this state, you just want to get off as quickly as possible because people either go too fast or they go too slow. And then the people that are driving too fast collide with the people that are doing, 32 or 10 or 20. And it's just it's a disaster. And I hate to tell my Minnesota friends, but I was out of town during the weekend of the famous Halloween storm. I think I saw the very beginning of it. And then we flew out. But I do have some fond memories of snowstorms. There was a big one when I was growing up in an apartment building, in Chicago. I remember that it was this old apartment building where I used to watch Mr. Kochlischer shovel the coal into the coal furnace. And it was so bad. I remember my dad, couldn't get home from work. He worked at 76th and Loomis, and he couldn't get home. And it took all night for him to get home. And there's a whole story about those guys they actually decided not to go the freeway. And they went down Halsted, and they drove down Halsted, and it took them like all night to get south through down Halsted from 76th Street. So we're not talking about, they weren't even in downtown. They were coming, south to about 180th from 76th Street. So they came south. It took them all night. And my dad talked about getting out of the car and going in, running ahead and buying hamburgers and coffee and stuff and jumping back in the car with the guys. And then they dropped him off at the train station and he finally managed to get home. So that was a huge storm. And it was a really exciting. And I think it was because I was young. Just really exciting. And that day, we were in school, and I remember we came out of school at noon, and it was a whiteout, and they told us to go home. So we all walked home in the snow, and that was probably the best memory I have of a snowstorm. It was fabulous. And then, I remember an early 80s storm in Minneapolis, and I was working at the radio station in Minneapolis, and I lived about three blocks from the radio station. And as soon as we heard a storm was coming, we were like, we need to be put up at the Curtis Hotel. I don't know if anybody remembers the Curtis, but they put us up at the Curtis Hotel, and it was we got into the hotel right before the liquor store downstairs in the lobby at the Curtis opened up. And somebody said, before the liquor store closed. And somebody said, we better get down there and get some liquor. So we went down and just bought as much liquor as we could get and put it in by now it was really a bad storm. You could tell it was going to be a big one, and put it in the bathtubs with ice, and everybody started partying. And it was quite a weekend, to say the least. And the next Monday, I remember I came back and everybody was all hungover, and it was like there were all these stories, and the GM was like, what happened over there? And then he said, what were you doing there? You live four blocks from here. You could have just gone home. And he was like, I said, well, someone had to keep an eye Someone had to keep an eye from management on these people. And I was, of course, right in the middle of it. And then I always tell the story about getting caught in that snowstorm out in Wyoming a couple of years back when I was first rolling around in Mobile Podcast Command. And I got stuck at a truck stop. And it was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed that. Although I have to say, coming down out of 10,000 feet in a snowstorm in a truck with bald tires was a little bit nerve-wracking. But I lived. So that was pretty cool. The cool thing about a snowstorm is you know it's coming. It's only a question of how bad it's going to be. You have to plan the menu and what you're going to do, right? Before you have to know what kind of, you're going to have chili or tacos or some kind of soup or stew. You got to have something substantial in a snowstorm. And you have to go to the store before it, because we treat it as a nuclear disaster. So it looks like The Walking Dead if you go to Cub or Trader Joe's or, you know, Lund's or something too late, because the shelves will have been cleaned out. It looks like Venezuela in Minnesota. I went to the Trader Joe's. There was, I don't know what it was, about a month or so ago, there was supposedly going to be a storm. And I went to Trader Joe's and the place was literally cleaned out. And I said to somebody, what? Why are all these shelves cleaned out? And she said, well, because of the snow coming. And I was like, what snow? And then I said, yeah, because it's like nuclear war. And they laughed because I couldn't believe it. Like all these hippies came in and just cleaned out Trader Joe's in a matter of, you know, an hour and a half. So you got to go get your supplies and you got to get them early. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do for the next day or so. And there's tons. Believe me, I did a lot of checking before this podcast. There's a bunch of blogs and all kinds of stuff about what you're supposed to do and silly things like playing board games and everything else. And I don't know whether you want to be alone or whether you want to be with somebody. And then it's a question of who you want to be with. You know, do you want your friends over or not? And whatever. But if you don't have to work because you're going to be snowed in, then it's great. You stay up really late. You have a great time. But if you have to work, it's really no fun, because then you got to get up, you know, Tuesday morning with 16 inches of snow and go to work. But during the process, you'll stay up all night. I always stay up all night, and I love, you know, I'm watching something on TV and I sit up on the couch and look out the window and it's just cut. Boy, it's really coming down. You know, oh, it's really coming down. I better get out there and shovel again so I don't get, you got to shovel two or three times or four times during a snowstorm so your driveway isn't just covered and you don't break your back the next morning. So for Minnesotans, this is what is being predicted by the National Weather Service, for what it's worth. And I expect this to change. But if you're a masochist who believes no good deed ever goes unpunished in Minnesota, which means when we have all this wonderful warm weather, we think it comes at a price because we don't deserve this warm weather because we're bad people. It kind of fits in with the Lutheran and Catholic upbringing in Minnesota. Saith the National Weather Service, the models have been locked in to the low pressure system, which is supposedly developing for next Friday for several days. And the phenomenal part of this is the amount of moisture. The system may, that is the caveat, that's what they always say. Well, we said may bring. By the way, let alone the agreement within the different models that they have run on this so far. So there is a caveat, and of course that is that many things can change when you're looking at a system this far out. But we could see rain and moderate snow, which would be really a big letdown if you're expecting a big storm, especially kids that are in school. Or it could be an all-out blizzard. And I will tell you, you people who are in school and hoping for a couple of days off, remember, I remember one winter when I was going to school and we had a bunch of snow days. And I remember we were still in school in like, it was probably June 10th or 11th or 12th or 13th or something. We should have been out on the 6th or 7th. And it was really hot. I remember we couldn't pay attention to anything. And I remember those rooms being super hot and the heat was still on. And it was agonizing. So yeah, you might get a snow day, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be sitting in one of those rooms with the heat on in school on June 16th, working out your snow days. So the storm, according to the National Weather Service, will carry as much as 1 to 2 inches of water. An inch of water equates to about 10 inches of snow. That could mean between 10 and 20 inches of snow. And by the way, these big storms, the Halloween was 24 inches. I would be perfectly happy with 32 or 33 inches. I think that would be great. But most of the big storms in Minnesota really aren't 24 plus. The biggest storm was Halloween. That was 24 inches. The one I lived through when I was a kid, you know, that was, I think, at parts of the city got 32. That's when the city literally shut down. We got 24 or 26 down in our neck of the woods at that time. So 17 or 16 or 18 is a pretty big storm. That could be one of the top four. So between 10 and 20 inches of snow is a lot of snow. They're basically projecting rain south of here for Iowa and Missouri and places like that. But then as it moves north, there will be heavy snow for Minnesota and points east. So that probably includes western Wisconsin. And eventually, I think they're predicting heavy snow for Chicago, but they get different weather than we get. They sometimes get storms that we don't get. And it's kind of, I'm envious in some ways. And I know kids that want their snow days are envious. So here are your safety tips. And these seem really ridiculous to me. Because I guess I didn't even think what happens if the power goes out, but I don't really care. First of all, you need a working flashlight. You need a charged cell phone. Okay. Battery powered radio or television. No. Extra food, water, and medicine. Okay. I got plenty of beef jerky. First aid supplies. No. Heating fuel or turn up the heat prior to the storm if your house uses electrical heat. Okay. Emergency heating source. Yeah, no. My emergency heating source is going down to the Hilton. Fire extinguishers. I have one of those. Carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Come on. Do we really need that in a snowstorm? No. If you live on a farm, like you wouldn't know this, move all animals to an enclosed shelter. Bring extra feed to nearby feeding areas. Have an extra water supply easily available. My friend Steve, if you're listening, Steve Steiner, has a giant army diesel generator, and I love that thing. So he's not going to run out of heat or electricity. But in his defense, he said, you know, we have this because the electricity goes off all the time. They live on a farm out way south of Chicago in a vehicle full or near gas. So you need to go fill up. Let a friend or relative know your predicted arrival time. Because I live in the city and they live right down the street. Okay. Back to a charged cell phone, extra food and water, extra gasoline for emergency fuel. Yeah, you know. And then they talk about what a blizzard warning is versus a storm warning, which I'm not going to get into. At home or in a building, stay inside. Close off unneeded rooms to save heat. Stuff towels or rags in cracks underneath doors to conserve heat. So much for the carbon monoxide or whatever it is, carbon dioxide alarm. Cover the windows at night. Eat and drink to prevent dehydration. Wear layers of loose-fitting, lightweight, and warm clothing. Okay, I turn the heat way up and then pretty much walk around with a pair of jeans on. If you're caught outside, this one makes some sense, find a dry shelter immediately. Cover all exposed body parts, you know. Call somebody. I don't know. If you're caught outdoors without shelter, you're supposed to prepare a lean-to. Do you know how to make a lean-to? A windbreak of some kind or a snow cave for protection against the wind. You have to build a fire for heat and attention purposes and place rocks around the fire to absorb and reflect the heat. Do not eat snow straight off the ground because it lowers your body temperature. You have to melt it first. If you're stranded in a vehicle, and this seems to me very important, stay inside your vehicle, run the motor for 10 minutes each hour. Crack the windows to avoid carbon monoxide poisoning. Make sure the exhaust pipe is not blocked. Tie a colored cloth to your antenna or door. Raise the hood after the snow stops falling. Exercise to keep warm and keep your blood flowing. That's what you're supposed to do. So those are your working and running orders for the storm. Other than that, I think we should all just relax and enjoy the snowstorm. Fingers crossed. Now watch, nothing will happen. It'll be like rain, and it'll be like whatever. But you can listen to this podcast again if you're interested in snowstorms, should they ever come again. Yeah, it's much better to be driving an SUV in bad snowy weather in Minnesota than it is to be driving a very small car with front-wheel drive because of the clearance and a lot of other reasons. And if you need to get yourself a great SUV at a reasonable price, don't forget X-Government Cars, Minnesota's only dealer, specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. Crown Vics, Expeditions, Yukons, Chevy Impala V8s, Dodge Chargers, and more. X-Government Cars. GovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, 763-777-8782. And yes, I have the bullhorn.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Now, should you have a plumbing emergency with the bad weather coming, or if you just want to make sure all your systems are running right, if you need to get something fixed, fix it right. And this includes, you know, people who own property, people who have apartment buildings, people who have duplexes, as well as businesses. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. We will get back to the news. I think it will be a welcome, if we have a snowstorm, I think it will be a welcome break from all of this nonsense with politics. But, you know, there is a lot going on in the news today, and there's a lot of talk about foreign manufacturing coming back to the United States. And a lot of companies, for whatever reason, are planning to bring some of their production back to the United States. And if that's you, if your company is one of those companies, if you're in the decision-making chain in those companies, the chain of command, and your company is considering American manufacturing, remember DepotStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepotStar.com, DepotStar.com, DepotStar.com. All right. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. If we do get a snowstorm, I'm doing a podcast in the middle of it, so plan on listening for that. And thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and, of course, Instagram, my favorite social media. And yes, I can really use the donations. Thank you, Ed Nass, for Mobile Podcast Command. We're getting ready for spring operations, and it's hard to tell where the news may take me in Mobile Podcast Command, so your donations, the Gopher Diesel Fuel, greatly appreciated at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Click on that. Takes you to PayPal, and you can make a donation. There's two places you can see, three places actually on the page. The big yellow donate button, the big banner across the top that shows me in New Mexico at White Sands, and then the one in the picture of Mobile Podcast Command right after I got it down in Texas. And if you look at that picture, you'll see where one of the little lights was broken off, so I had gotten that replaced. So thanks again for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Keeps us up and running, and thanks for listening to podcast 603 Storm Coverage, the Bob Davis Podcasts.